Chapter 16, The Coming of Glaurung. Now the power and malice of Glaurung grew apace, and he waxed fat, and he gathered orcs to him, and ruled as a dragon king. And all the realm of Nargothrond that had been was laid under him. And before this year ended, the third of Turambar's dwelling among the woodmen, he began to assail their land, which for a while had had peace. For it was well known to Glaurung and to his master that in Brethil there abode a remnant of free men, the last of the three houses to defy the power of the north. And this they would not brook, for it was the purpose of Morgoth to subdue all Beleriand and to search out its every corner, so that none in any hole or hiding might live that were not thrall to him. Thus, whether Glaurung guessed where Turin was hidden, or whether, as some hold, he had indeed, for that time, escaped from the eye of evil that pursued him, is of little matter. For in the end, the counsels of Brandir must prove vain. And at the last, two choices only could there be for Turambar: to sit deedless until he was found, driven forth like a rat, or to go forth soon to battle and be revealed. But when tidings of the coming of the orcs were first brought to Ethelbrandir, he did not go forth, and yielded to the prayers of Niniel. For she said, "Our homes are not yet assailed, as your word was. It is said that the orcs are not many, and Dorlas told me that before you came, such affrays were not seldom, and the woodmen held them off." But the woodmen were worsted, for these orcs were of a fell breed, fierce and cunning, and indeed they came with a purpose to invade the forest of Brethil, not, as before, passing through its eaves on other errands, or hunting in small bands. Therefore Dolas and his men were driven back with loss, and the orcs came over Teiglin and roamed far into the woods. And Dolas came to Turambar and showed his wounds, and he said, "See, Lord, now is the time of our need come upon us, after a false peace, even as I foreboded. Did you not ask to be counted one of our people, and no stranger? Is this peril not yours also? For our homes will not remain hidden if the orcs come further into our land." Therefore Turambar arose, and took up again his sword Gurthang, and he went to battle. And when the woodmen learned this, they were greatly heartened, and they gathered to him till he had a force of many hundreds. Then they hunted through the forest, and slew all the orcs that crept there, and hung them on the trees near the crossings of Teiglin. And when a new host came against them, they trapped it, and being surprised both by the numbers of the woodmen and by the terror of the black sword that had returned, the orcs were routed and slain in great number. Then the woodmen made great pyres and burned the bodies of the soldiers of Morgoth in heaps, and the smoke of their vengeance rose black into heaven, and the wind bore it away westward. But few living went back to Nargothrond with these tidings. Then Glaurung was wrathful indeed, but for a while he lay still and pondered what he had heard. Thus the winter passed in peace, and men said, "Great is the black sword of Brethil, for all our enemies are overcome." Niniel was comforted, and she rejoiced in the renown of Turambar. But he sat in thought, and he said in his heart, "The die is cast. Now comes the test, in which my boast shall be made good, or fail utterly. I will flee no more. Turambar, indeed, I will be, and by my own will and prowess I will surmount my doom, or fall. But falling or riding, Glaurung at least I will slay. Nonetheless, he was unquiet, and he sent out men of daring as scouts far afield, for indeed, though no word was said, he now ordered things as he would, as if he were lord of Brethil, and no man heeded Brandir.